We're holding up the top of Mem Aleph. Mishnah says, now we have to remember as background to this Mishnah and the Gemara, throughout the Perek, we've been saying that the 50 shkalim that the person has to pay for being onus or mafata is a knas. Now we have a general rule in Torah that says mojib knas potter, that if a person on his own without edim admits that he did something which makes him liable to a knas, then he's potter from paying that knas. Only if edim come and say that he's liable for it, then he's chayev in it. So the Mishnah says, "Ha'omer pitisius bnei shal as bitei shal ploni." If somebody says, "I voluntarily and based in I seduced Ploni's daughter," meaning that he's saying, therefore, that he owes the 50 shkalim. Now we said in the previous Mishnayos that not only is he chayev in the 50 shkalim, he's also chayev in various other payments as well. So mashalim boshes gam al piyatzmoi. So the boshes, the humiliation that he causes her, and the gam, the fact that now she's worthless, as we talked about before, about that if you have a situation where a person wants for a specific reason to give nachas ruach to a slave, he dafka wants to buy a maid servant, a basula. Now this woman is not a basula, so therefore she's worthless in that sense. So those things he pays up yatsmo, those he pays based on his own admission, because those are not knas, those are mumma, those are regular payments of money. Yeah, you caused somebody a damage of X amount, therefore you're paying X amount. The ein mashalim knas, but he doesn't pay the knas because the 50 shkalim is not specifically an amount that she lost. We said that that's a fixed amount regardless of her social status or her looks or what have you. That's strictly, we said, we called it hanas shchiva. We called it the fact that he enjoyed having relations with her, but that's a knas. That's not something that he deprived her of. Therefore, that he doesn't pay al piyatzmoy, just like any other knas. We'll see. In the Gemara is going to ask why it mentions only pitisi. What about if he says I'm nasty? What about if he says I raped her? We'll see that in the Gemara. By the way, another difference between knas and mammon, which the Mishnah is not really dealing with over here, we're going to deal with it in the Gemara at the very end of the parak, is that dine knosses, you require a based in smuchim in order to deal with them. You need a beis din that has smicha, the original smicha ish mipiish, back to Moshe Rabbeinu. When you don't have, nowadays that we don't have that smicha, then we can't judge dine knosis. Even really within dine mamonis, you have the rulers, the bate dinim nowadays, of course, are empowered to judge dine mamonis, but only the kinds of dine mamonis of common things. For example, they can deal with things like loans and pikdonus and other things like that, which are common everyday things. Even when things are not knas, the bate dinim of now are not empowered to deal with cases that are rarer. For example, we're going to talk about in the continuation of the Mishnah about one person's ox injures another or something. So in all those cases, what happens is we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in the Gemara, what we do nowadays. We'll talk about later, Best Hashem, what we do. Practically speaking, the Gaonim say that, and the Poskim after them bring it, that Beis Din has the power to put the person in Cherem, the Mazik in Cherem, until he gives an appropriate amount to the Nizik to compensate him. And then Beis Din will figure out what that amount is, so they don't have the ability to actually tell him flat out you have to pay it, but they do have the ability to put pressure on him via chayim. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. In the same sense, we know there's also knosis in other areas of the Torah. For example, again, when it comes to stealing, the fact that he has to pay the keren is mamon, because he was going to deprive the other person of X amount, so he has to pay X amount, that's mamon. But the rest of it, the fact that there's tashlumei kefal, the fact that there's tashlumei arba v'chamisha, that's all a knas, because that's more than what he was going to deprive the other person of. So in the same way, ha'ima ganavti, if somebody voluntarily says in based in I stole from Ploini, mashalim as a keren apiatmoi, the keren you can make him pay on his own, because that's mamon. Bein mashalim tashlum a kefal, but tashlum arba v'chamisha, but you can't make him pay the kefal or the arba v'chamisha, because that's not a knas, because those are knas, and Modi B'Knas Potter, since he's admitting to it, then the Torah says he's Potter from that Knas. Another example, Hamis Shodius Plony or Shodish Plony. What if he comes to Beis Din and says, my Shur killed Plony, which would make him Chayev in Koifer. Now we're going to discuss in the Gemara, but the Pasuk says that if a person's shur kills, if the shur is a tam, if it's one of the first couple of times that the shur has done this, the Pasuk says the shur has to be killed, but it doesn't say what the owner is liable for. We're going to discuss that at the bottom of this amud and the top of the next amud. If the shur was moored, then the Pasuk says, Vagamba all of Yomos, the owner has to be put to death, which means that he's Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim. And as we discussed the other day in the Gemara, instead, what the Torah continues to say is in Koifer Yushas Olav, that Beis Din assesses a Koifer, an amount that he should pay as ransom for his life, and that's the amount he pays. And you have a Machlokas elsewhere in Shas, you have a Machlokas in Baba Kama, what that amount is. Is it meant to be the value of the mazik? In other words, we picture as though this mazik was going to be sold as a slave, and how much would he be sold for? And that's the amount he pays. Or is it the value that the nizik would have been worth the person who was killed, that you figure out how much he would have been sold for, as the case may be. Whatever the case, the point is, again, that so he's saying that my shur killed Plony. So he's so in effect, he's saying I'm chayev kofer, oy shodish al Plony, or he's saying my shur killed somebody else's shur, which makes him chayev for the value of that shur. Harizim mashalim apiatzmai, then he pays on his own. Then he pays based on his own admission. Now Rashi points out there is a machlokas in besides for the machlokas, how much the value of the kofer is it the value of the mazik or the nizik? Aside from that, there's a machlokas in the Gemara in Baba Kama, whether the kofer is fundamentally a payment of mamon, or is it fundamentally a payment of kapara. So our Mishnah, says Rashi, is following the opinion that says that it's a payment of mamon, and therefore, like any other mamon, he would pay it based on his own admission. Achronim talk about the ins and outs of that, why Rashi is forced to say that. And one point is that Rashi may be saying that our Mishnah is following the opinion that it's the value of the nizik, and therefore it is a true payment of what the other person was deprived, what his family was deprived of. They were deprived, in effect, of a person that who was worth X amount, and therefore he's paying X amount. So therefore, he has to pay it al piyatma. In other words, the idea being, according to this explanation, that the Chassam Sofer talks about it, that if we were to say that it's actually the value of the mazik, then we wouldn't necessarily say that the person is paying it on his own, because then it would be more in the nature of something that he's paying for kapara, and that he's not necessarily paying on his own say so. Anyway, so that's as far as when it killed a person. When he's saying it killed somebody else's shur, then again, the idea is that assuming that the animal is a muad, that it's already done this a few times, then and been warned and based in, then he's chayev for the full value of the other guy's shur. And therefore, that is, and therefore, that's a payment of mamon. We'll deal with in the Gemara what happens if the animal is a tam, and we're paying only chatzi nezek. What's the din as far as that? Continues the Mishnah. On the other hand, hamis shodi avde shoploni. On the other hand, if he comes to Beis Din and admits that my shur killed so and so's eved, and the Torah tells us that for that you have a fixed payment always of 30 sela. So then, ein mashalom apiatzmai, that he doesn't pay based on his own say so, because again, that's a knas. Because since it's not the actual value of the eved, it's only a fixed amount of 30 shkalim. Then therefore, that's a knas. Zach, while the general rule is kolam mashalom yosir amasha hizik, anybody who pays more than the amount that he caused damage, which therefore is a knas, ein mashalom apiatzmai, he doesn't pay based on his own say so. And the same thing is going to apply. If the same thing is often going to apply if it's less. I mean, in the case of the Eved, for example, it could conceivably be that the Eved is worth more than 30 shkalim, but most of the time he's going to be worth less than that. We see, for example, when Yosef was sold, they sold him for only 20 shekel. So generally speaking, the knas for the eved is going to be higher than the value of the eved, and therefore that he's paying more than what he damaged. But in fact, the same thing would be true if it happened to be less. Again, as far as chatzi nezek, we'll deal with that in the Gemara. So the Gemara first asks, "V'lisni anasti." Why is the Mishnah saying specifically that the person comes to Beis Din and says, "I was mefata, I seduced Pliny's daughter," and then we're saying what he has to pay, what he doesn't have to pay? Why doesn't it say anasti? Why doesn't it mention it instead or in addition the case where he says that I did onus? Which Tosfos says that would be a bigger chiddush if the Mishnah were to say that, because it means that even though he's admitting that he did something terribly pritzostik, PTC, in other words, that there was mutual consent after all, anasti is he did it against her will, and still we would say that even in that case, we don't discount what he's saying and we make him pay. So why doesn't the Mishnah say that, or at least let it say both of them? And the answer is loy miboya karma. The Mishnah, by mentioning PTC, is telling us one of these needless to say things. Loy miboya anasti. Needless to say, if he says anasti, deloy kapogimba, where by saying anasti, he's not causing a pgam to her reputation. In other words, people hear him saying that, they're saying, okay, well, it means that, in other words, that she wasn't at fault at all of what happened. It was all against her will. So it's not causing her any kind of loss of status. So therefore, the mashalim boshes of gam alpiatzmo. No question that he pays boshes and gam tzar, for that matter, alpiatzmo, avo ptc. But you could argue that if he says ptc de kapogimba, where you could argue that in saying that ptc, in effect he's also spreading damaging information about her. He's saying that she was willing to go along with it. So you would think, Emaloi, Meshalom Apiatzmoi, maybe he doesn't have to pay Apiatzmoi. Maybe, in other words, we shouldn't really be believing him so much in Beis Din that we should believe him and say that it means that she was pritzistic enough to go along with it. So Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah is telling us that no, we don't pay attention to that factor. We still say he admitted it. Yes, it means that he's causing a lies about her, that now people are gonna say, look at that girl, she went along with such a thing. Nonetheless, we still accept what he's saying, and we make him pay the various payments, but again, not the knas, because the knas, we say modib knas potter. Okay. So the Gemara says, Masnissin deloiki hai tana. Now our Mishnah seems to not be like the following tana. The tana, Rav Shimon, Yehuda, Omer, Mishim, Rav Shimon, af boshes apgam, enim ashalam apiatzmai. Rav Shimon, Yehuda says in the name of Rav Shimon, that in fact he doesn't pay boshes apgam on his own say-so, because loy kol haymenu sheyifkin bitish apleini. For that reason, in fact, we don't believe his statement to the extent that it's going to be that he's putting a lies on her that she was mizaneh, that she's going to do such things outside of marriage. So he says at least in the case of mefata. So in the case of onus, fine, he would. And then in the case of onus, he would agree that the guy has to pay, because again, that doesn't cause her any kind of gam. But he's saying in the case of Mefata, of our Mishnah, he's saying, in fact, not like our Mishnah, that in fact he wouldn't be paying anything, not even the boshes and pagam. Tosfos talks about that there's a few possibilities within what Reb Shimon ben Yehuda is saying. Number one, it might be that he's talking about, so here we're talking about an our Mishnah where the person himself, the Mefata himself, comes to Beis Din and admits. Versus you could have the case where the father brings him to Beis Din, and then before the father brings any edim, then the guy admits to it. Now, in that case, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda might agree that he pays boshes and pagam, because obviously it's not a matter of loy kol haymenu, that we can't accept his statement, which is going to cause a pagam to the daughter. The father himself is the one who brought him to Beis Din first. Also, Tosfos goes on to say, the Gemara over here is going to point out that you also have not only her father and her to consider, you also have her family to consider. Now, maybe in fact, if she's from a family of Gerim and she and her father both want him to pay up, then maybe Rav Shimon ben Yehuda would agree that at least Boreshus and Pgam, he's paying, because we can't say the rest of the family might object, because there is no rest of the family. He became a ger, and his whole birth family is not considered his family anymore. Anyway, so the Gemara continues. What about if she does want him? What if she does want that money? So she's saying, you know what? Let's believe him. He says that he was mefatami. I don't care that means that people are going to be motzi laz on me, that people are going to say that I'm promiscuous, as long as I get the money out of it. So according to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, would we say then that we believe him and we make him pay Boreshus and Pgam? And Abaye answers, Dumala Nichola Leila Avia. Okay, but maybe her father doesn't like the idea. Her father doesn't want that this laz should be spread about his daughter. Okay, Nichalei Lavia Mai. What about if her father also wants this to happen? And he answers, Dumale Nichalul of Nemishbacha. Maybe the family doesn't want. The family is going to be humiliated by it being public knowledge that this girl from their family was promiscuous. Okay, what about Nichalul of Nemishbacha Mai? What if you go, you ask the entire family? There's this. You ask this entire family. Do you mind this laws, or would you rather that she's able to get the money? So then, what happens? And he answers, and by answer, still the efshad like a chadim dinasayam dilenichalei. Still, inevitably, that it's impossible that there's not one family member, maybe even in a different country, who doesn't like the idea, who eventually news is going to spread from one place to another, and it's going to be known, this kind of thing, after all, by definition, this kind of thing happens only very rarely. That's what we talked about the other day, what the Rambam says about this, that these dinim of onus and mafata are really meant to be only like if it's a one-off situation, not if the girl was known to be promiscuous, then all these dinim don't apply. So inevitably some member of the family, even someplace else in the world, is going to mind that we don't want that it's going to be strengthened the idea that yes, this girl was involved in pituri. So they and I should get some money out of it. They're saying forget about the money. On the other hand, it also it puts down our family. So therefore, for that reason, Rav Shimon Yehuda is going to say that we're not going to accept his word at all, because that's going to strengthen that laws against her and ultimately against her whole extended family. So here's where Tosva says that maybe if the father brought him to Beis Din first, or if she's from a family of Gerim, then maybe Rav Shimon ben Yehuda would agree that in that case you do make him pay the Boreshus and Pgam, because in the first case it's the father that initiated the whole thing by bringing him to Beis Din, and in the second case you can't say the entire extended family because there is no extended family. Okay. Anyway, the halacha is like this, like our Mishnah, that therefore he always pays up the Atzma regardless. We said in the Mishnah, we said if a person comes to Beis Din and says, I stole, then we make him pay the Keren, but not the Tashlum Abav Hamisha. And then we continued in the Mishnah to talk about where he says that my Shur killed somebody, or my Shur killed another Shur. Now we know, of course, that if one Shur kills another, then if the animal is Tam, then you're paying only Chatzi Nezek, you're paying only half the value of the dead animal. And if it was Muad, if this happened three times already and he was warned and based in, then he pays Nezek Shalom, then he pays the full value of the other animal. So now, Itmar, so now we have a discussion about that point. Palga Nizga, when the Torah tells us that you pay Chatzi Nezek, what kind of payment is that? Is it Mammon or is it Knas? Rapapa Amma Palga Nizga Mammona, Ravuna Beredevishor Amma Palga Nizga Knas. So the Papa says fundamentally that Chatzi Nezek is Mammon. So fundamentally it's a payment. It's a payment to Mammon. It's not a Knas, which therefore would mean that he'd have to pay Al Piatzma like any other Mammon. And Rav Huna Bredevishua is saying that it's actually a Knas and therefore he's not paying Al Piatzma. What's the underlying argument? When Rapapa says that the Chatzi Nezek is considered Mamon, because he holds Stam Shvarim Lav Bechezkos Shimur Kaini. Most oxen do not have a chazaka of being safe. Now, it doesn't mean, of course, you know, by definition, a muad is something unusual. It did this three times and it was warned already, and therefore the payment is upgraded. So he doesn't mean, of course, that most animals are automatically dangerous. But what we mean is, in other words, that most animals, or Papa is saying, if you don't watch them, they are going to go out and cause damage. So that means even goring, which in and of itself is not a usual kind of damage, the Gemara in Bava Kamma explains that unlike you have other kinds of damage that oxen commonly do, for example, the shane eating things they're not supposed to, regal walking where they're not supposed to. So those kinds of things are common and you always pay nezek shalom for those. Keren, that the animal should gore or do other things like biting or whatever, those are unusual. Nonetheless, the fact is, Rapapa is saying it's true they're unusual, but if you don't watch the animal, then inevitably sooner or later it is going to do even such unusual things. So therefore, the Torah is putting a responsibility on you, the owner of the ox, to watch your ox and prevent that from happening in the first place. So uvedinu de mashalim kulei. So logically, then now what happened? You failed to watch your ox. And it went out and did one of these things. It went and gored another ox. By rights, you should have to pay the whole thing. But Hashem has rachmanus on the person. Because that katila yad Torah, after all, the shirt hasn't been moored yet. He hasn't been warned repeatedly and based in to watch his ox. So therefore, he has a certain claim to say, I didn't know that this ox is prone to do this kind of thing. So therefore, I didn't even know that it would, considering that it is, after all, unusual behavior. So therefore, he gets away with paying only chatzi nezek. But Rapapa is saying, nevertheless, it's still, in principle, he should have had to pay chatzi nezek. The Torah is giving him a break. Therefore, it's still considered a payment of mamon. And therefore, he would have to pay up the atzmon. On the other hand, Rav Huna Bre Devishua Amar Palga Nizka Knasa. Rav Huna Bre Devishua says that the Chatzi Nezek is considered Knas because he holds Kasava Stam Shvarim B'Cheskas Shimur Kaimi. Most oxen are basically safe animals. You don't necessarily have to be watching your ox all the time to make sure that it doesn't gore or do such or do other similar kinds of things. So by rights, the person ought not to have paid at all. It ought to be considered an onus that there was even such an event. But Achmanahu can say, but Hashem is penalizing him and making him pay chatzi nezek. So that in the future he watches his ox. So therefore, according to that way of looking at it, it's a knas like other knasses, and therefore the usual rules of knas apply, including that he doesn't pay out the atzmon. So now that we have that fundamental machlokas, now the Gemara is going to go through several different places, several different mishnayos, including our mishnah, which are going to bear on this, which are from which we're going to try to prove one way or the other whether that chatzi nezek is mamon or knas. So it starts as simen hizik ma. Simon Hizik Ma Behemis Klal. These are keywords for four Mishnayos that we're going to bring in this connection. So number one, Tnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, Hanizik Vahamazik Veteshlomin. Both the Nizik and the Mazik are involved in the payment. Now, what it sounds like, in other words, is we're talking about Chatzi Nezek. It sounds like we're saying that each one of them is losing something. Because what happens when you pay chatzi nezek? So you have, let's say, you know, you had a shur that you had a shur that was worth that was worth 200 zuz, and the other person and the other person's shur killed it, and now let's say the nevela is not worth anything to keep things simple. So now you have, but what are you getting paid? You're only getting paid 100 zuz, so you're losing. So you're losing 100. The other guy is also losing 100 because that's what he's paying. And so the Mishnah is saying that both of them are involved in the Tashlumin, meaning that both of them are losing something in it. So So if you say the Chatzi Nezek is fundamentally Mamon, in other words, by rights, the Nezek ought to have gotten the 200, but the Torah gave the Mazik a break. Well, then, Hainu the Shayach Nizik the Tashlumin. Well, that explains how the Nizik is involved in the Tashlumin, because he should have gotten the 200, and instead he's only getting 100, so that's a loss. But according to Rav Huna Ber Yehoshua, that it's fundamentally a knas, meaning that fundamentally he should have been, in theory, he should have been getting nothing, but the Torah is penalizing the other guy and making him paying half. So then, so what do you mean? How is he involved in the tashlumin? After all, he's getting something that he wouldn't have even normally been entitled to. The tashlumin isay, in what sense is he involved in the tashlumin? He's getting essentially, in a certain sense, you could say he's getting free money by rights, by the underlying logic of Huna Ber Yehoshua is saying, he would have gotten nothing. All of a sudden, he gets a windfall of 100. You can't say that, therefore, he's involved in the tashlumin as in the sense that he's losing something. By rights, he would have been losing it. By theoretically, he would have been losing even more. And after all, if we're saying that it's a knas, then it would mean if the guy came to Beis Din and voluntarily said, my shur killed your shur, then in fact, we would say he is potter completely because Moed B'Knas potter. So doesn't that Mishnah contradict Rav Huna Ber Yehoshua? And the answer is no, because that's not what the Mishnah means. Because what the Mishnah is talking about something else. It's talking about the loss in value of the nevela, of the dead animal. Meaning, in other words, like this. We say that if my shur killed your shur, which is worth 200 zuz, then there's chatzi nezek involved. Now we have to consider that most of the time the nevela itself is going to be worth something. So you could have the shur was worth 200 zuz when it was alive, and now after it's dead, I mean, after all, the meat of it is the meat and the skin of it are still worth something. So you could sell those, let's say, for 50 zuz. So in that case, then the damage was really only 150 zuz, not 200. Now what happens by the time we come to Beis Din, let's say the animal has deteriorated, and now it's worth, let's say, only 30. So now the question is going to be, are we going to make the mazik pay half of 170, the difference between the 200 and the 30? We're going to say that no. What we do is we say that at the time the animal was killed, its value went down from 200 to 50. So therefore, that was a loss in value of 150. So therefore, we're going to say the mazik pays 75. Since then, the nevela has further deteriorated and has lost another 20 in value. Tough luck. Nizik, that's your job. That's your job, Nizik, to take care of dealing with that nevela, selling it as soon as possible, and any depreciation in it is on you, and it's not on the mazik. So in that sense, we can say that the nizik and the mazik are both involved in the tashlumin. In other words, what we're saying is that again, we're saying the chatzi nezik itself would have been a knas. Theoretically, the nizik might not even be getting it at all. But we're saying he does get it, but we're saying that he only gets chatzi nezek as of the time when the animal died, not after that. So even Rav Huna Ber Yehoshua would agree to that. So therefore, we can say that the nizek participates in the payment process, and he's losing something. Namely, he's losing in terms of the depreciation of the value of the neveva between the incident and when he deals with selling off the nevela. So the Gemara says, if that's all the Mishnah means, p'chas nevela tanena. In that case, we have a different Mishnah in Bava Kamma that tells us that point. It says, tashlumin nezek melamet shabbailam metaplin menevela. Where the Mishnah, actually, it's a b'raisa in Bava Kamma, where the Mishnah there uses the phrase tashlumin nezek, and a b'raisa there explains why it uses the expression tashlumin nezek. Why doesn't it say meshalamas an nezek? So tashlume nezek literally means to fill up the value of the nezek. In other words, that what we do is we start with the value of the nevela as it was at the time when the animal was killed, and then you go from there until you increase from there until you reach chatzi nezek, and that's the amount you make the person pay. So in our scenario over here, for example, you start with the nevela was worth 50. That's your floor. Then you say, you figure out what's the difference from that to 200 is the difference of 150. Therefore, the guy is paying 75 on top of that. So therefore, so the nizik ends up with 125, 50 of the What we do is, I said it wrong. What we do is we figure out the value of the novella. That becomes the floor. Then we say, now what's the total amount of the nezek that is how it is. The total amount of the nezek was 150. So therefore he's paying half of that, which is 75. So therefore he's paying 125 total. We already know that point from a different Mishnah. So if that's all the Mishnah is telling us by the words Hanizik Vamazik Vatashlomin, then what is Rav Huna Bar Derishua adding? And the answer is The answer is of the two Mishnayos, one of them is talking about the case of Tam, and the other one is talking about where he's paying only half, and the other one is talking about the case of Mord, where he's paying the full thing. And the Gemara says Utsricha, and in fact, we need both of them, the Iyashmin and Tam, because if we were only told that that would be the case with the Tam, you would say, I did say it wrongly. In the case where we said where the novella itself is worth 50, then it means the other guy is paying another 50. So then, in other words, we're giving the mazik a break. We're going to say we allow the value of the novella at the time to count towards his chatzi nezek, because after all, we would say mishum da kati lo yayid. After all, the animal's not been, he hasn't been warned about this animal yet. He doesn't know that this animal is particularly dangerous. So therefore, we're going to give him a break and allow the original value of the novella to count towards his payment. Ava muad di'yayid, but in the case of the muad, where he was warned, emaloi, you would think that maybe not. Maybe you should make him pay the full amount and not even take into consideration the value of the novella. The Iyashmin, so therefore we need one Mishnah to tell us that. The Iyashmin and Muad, and conversely, if it told us only the case of a Muad, you would say, Mishum de Kamashalim Kulay, because after all, he's already suffering that he has to pay the full value, so therefore at least we want to give him a break and allow the value of the Nevela to count towards it. Aval Tam, but in the case of a Tam, where he's paying only half, Eimalo, you would have thought that maybe not, maybe you make him pay the full amount, Sricha, and therefore we need both Mishnayas. So even according to Rav Huna Bar Derishua, there's no extra Mishnah over here, and we can say that neither Mishnah is telling us that the Chatzi Nezek is Mamon. Both of them are telling us that it's Knas, and therefore, again, the guy's not paying Api Atzmai, but the two Mishnayas are telling us that both in the case of a Tam and the case of a Mord, you figure out the actual value of the dead animal, and you go from there. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, or a Mishnah says, Ma ben tam lemuad. What is the difference between a tam and a muad? Sha tam mashalim chatzi nezek migufoy. That a tam, first of all, pays chatzi nezek, and that money is paid migufoy, is paid only from the actual shur itself. Meaning, let's say, for example, that the dead shur was worth, $500. So that chatzi nezek is 250. And let's say, for example, fine, even dead, let's say it's still worth 100. So the total nezek is 400. Half of that would be 200. What if the shur that did the killing is itself worth only 100? Then the din is that the mazik is only liable to pay 100. We don't make him take money out of his bank account and pay it. We just tell him you have to pay up to the maximum value of your shur that caused the damage. So in that case, and in this case, then he's only paying a quarter of the nezek, not a half. So that's chatzi nezek. So it's chatzi nezek or gufoy, whichever one is less. As opposed to a muad, first of all, pays nezek shalom, and second of all, he pays min ha'aliyah from the best of his properties. You tell you if he's paying in land in particular, then you take land of his, which is idis, which is the best quality land, and you take an appropriate amount of that and give it to the nezek. And we learn that from the way the pasuk phrases it by the respective things tam and muad. Now the loikatoni shat tamen mishalom api atzmai or muad mishalom api atzmai. Now the Mishnah, according to Rav Huna Bar Derishua, if we say that chatzi nezek is knas, and now nezek shalom is certainly mammon, no question about that. If you say that chatzi nezek is knas, then the Mishnah should have mentioned another distinction, that a tam, you don't pay if the person himself comes to Beis Din and admits. that and admits that he caught that his show caused damage. And then we would say, so we would say if we say that it's knas, then we would say the tam is not paying. In the case of the tam, he's not paying because modi be knas father umod mashalim apiyatzme. Whereas in the case of modi, would because then it's mammon. So according to the papa, then of course the mission doesn't mention it because both of them are mammon. Either way, if he comes to Beis Din and admits, then he's paying. But according to the Hunder Beis Din Yeshua, it should have mentioned that distinction. And the answer is the Gemara says, okay, ton of a shayu. The Mishnah doesn't have to mention every single distinction. It mentions some distinctions and it leaves some out. So the Gemara says, okay, my shayu the high shayu. Fine, if you're going to say the Mishnah left it out, it has to have left out something else as well. If you only have one thing left out of a list, we generally say it means there was a good reason to leave it out, namely because the Mishnah doesn't hold of that. And then it would be a contradiction to the Hunder Beis Din Yeshua. If you have two or more things, okay, you could say that the Mishnah didn't give the entire list. So what else did it leave out? And the answer is Shir Chatzi Koifer. The answer is the Mishnah left out another distinction as far as Chatzi Koifer. Namely, we said in our Mishnah that if a person's shur kills another person, then we said if the animal is moored, then he has to pay koifer, he has to pay a certain amount of money. And we said, we talked about, is it the value of the mazik or the value of the nizik? Is it fundamentally mammon? Is it fundamentally the kapara? Whatever the case, the Torah says he has to pay a koifer in that case. Now, what happens if the animal was tam? Does he pay chatzi koifer? So no, he does not. So therefore, that's something else that the Mishnah left out. It doesn't mention the difference of koifer, that we don't say in the case of tam, you pay half koifer, and in the case of muad, you pay koifer. Because in fact, you don't pay half koifer at all. So the Mishnah could have mentioned another distinction that by tam you're not paying koifer and by muad you do, and it's not mentioning that. So therefore, we can say that also it left out the question of whether a person pays the chatzi nezek al pi atzma or not. The Gemara says that's not really a valid statement though, because imishum chatzi koifer lav shiurahu. If you're just saying it's a fact that it left out koifer, that conceivably the Mishnah could have mentioned that you don't pay, that a person doesn't pay koifer for a tam and does pay for a muad, that's not necessarily something that the Mishnah left out, because Hamani Rabbi Yosef Aglili he damar tam b'shalom chatzi koifer. Because in fact that Mishnah could well be like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who says that in the case of a tam you do in fact pay chatzi koifer. So according to him, there's no real difference in that as far as koifer between tam and muad. It is half versus full, fine, but nonetheless, that goes together with the general fact that a tam you're paying half and a muad you're paying full. So therefore, the Mishnah wouldn't necessarily have had to mention that as a separate distinction. So therefore, we still may be left with that the Mishnah is leaving out only one distinction, namely mishalom apiatzma or not, which now. That still doesn't contradict Rav Huna Ben Yeshua, because again, Rav Huna Ben Yeshua doesn't have to understand that the Mishnah goes like Rav Yosef Aglili. But nevertheless, since we could understand the Mishnah that way, then it means that it means just the opposite. The Mishnah is not a contradiction to Rav Papa, because Rav Papa can explain that the Mishnah is going like Rav Yosef Aglili. Rav Huna Ben Yeshua, meanwhile, who says that the Chatzi Nezek is a Knas, doesn't need that. He can say that the he can say that the Mishnah goes he can say that the Mishnah goes like that the that so actually Tosfos says the other way around, that we would say that to leave out Chatzi Koifer is actually according to the Papa's understanding, the Mishnah is not leaving out anything whatsoever, because it's not leaving out Knat, it's not leaving out the matter of Mishalom Apiatzme, because according to the Papa, in fact, you're not Mishalom Apiatzme. According to the Papa, in fact, a person is Mishalom Apiatzme in either case. It's not leaving out the matter of Chatzi Koifer, because in fact, this Mishnah would go like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who says there's no difference over there. You're always paying some kind of Koifer, half or full, as the case may be, depending whether it's time or more. So according to the Papa, it would come out the Mishnah is not leaving out anything. According to Rav Huna Ben Yeshua, you would say instead that the Mishnah is leaving out two things. It's leaving out Mishalom Apiatzmai, and it's leaving out the matter of Koifer, because according to him, you don't have to say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So fine, so there's no contradiction according to either one of them. So, okay. This, by the way, Rashi explains the question of whether a person is paying koifer in that case basically comes down to, now earlier, a few psukim earlier, the Torah tells us that, what it is like this. The Torah tells us when it comes to a tam, the pasuk says, Uvala shor nok. It says the owner of the shor is clean. And on the simple level, what it means is, in other words, he's clean, he doesn't have to pay anything. So now, the Rabbi Yossi Agluli says, in fact, he does have to pay half koifer. The Baal HaShor Nok is talking about a different case. Namely, we know, we talked about a few days ago in the Gemara, that if a person hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, then he has to pay Dmei Vlodis. As long as she herself didn't die, then he just has to pay for the value of the babies that she was carrying. So now, Rabbi Yossi Agluli is saying the parallel case. If a person's shur injured a pregnant woman and caused her to miscarry, then we're saying Bala Shur Noki, that he doesn't have to pay for the Dmei Vlodis. But Rabbi Yossi Agluli would say, as far as Koifer, that a person has to pay regardless. Only the difference is, if it's a tam, then he pays a half, as usual with the payments of a tam that are only half. Okay, so the point is that this Mishnah could go either according to the Papa or according to the Gunabed of Yeshua. According to the Papa, that we say the half Nezek is Mamon, then we would say that the Mishnah is not missing anything. It's not missing the fact that he pays up the Atzmai because he does, in fact, pay up the Atzmai in both cases because it's Mamon. And it's not missing the matter of Koifer because the Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Yossi Agluli, who says that there is always Koifer regardless. Meanwhile, according to the point of Rabbi Yeshua, you could say the Mishnah is missing two things. It's missing that in one case he pays up Yatzma and in the other one he doesn't, and it's missing that in one case there's Koifer and in the one case there's not, because he would say it goes like the Chachamim. Fine, but a Mishnah can be missing two or more things, and that still works. That's not a contradiction. The Gemara continues, Toshma, let's bring a proof from our Mishnah. If a person says, comes to Beis Din and says, my shur killed Pliny, or my shur killed Pliny's shur, so we said, then he has to pay based on his own say-so. So my lab the tam. So shouldn't we assume that the Mishnah is talking even about a tam? So as far as when it says that it killed the other person, and we're saying that and the implication is that he's paying koifer, fine, we could say that's sort of like Rabbi Yossi Agluli. But you're saying that it killed the other person's shur, and the implication is you're saying even that it was a tam, and you're still making him pay half, and you're saying that he pays that abyatzmai. So if it's talking about a tam, then that would contradict the idea of that would contradict what Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua is saying, that palgan niska is knasa. And the answer is loy, not necessarily on Mishnah, could be talking about Mu'ad. So the question is, so what are you telling me then? The Mishnah is implying that if it was a tam, then he doesn't pay on his own say-so. Well then, Abitani Sefer, Avde Shoplani, Eni Mashalom Abiyatzmai. Then when the Mishnah continues on Mishnah, and says that if he says that my shur killed Pliny's Eved, then we say an Eved is for sure knas. And then therefore he's not paying al piyatzmai. Instead of making that distinction, niflig v'nis nimidida, the Mishnah could have mentioned a distinction within the case where the person says my shur killed somebody else's shur. We would say b'med v'mamur b'mu'ad avol tam and mashalom al piyatzmai. The Mishnah could have explained that there's a difference between mu'ad and tam. It should have done that. And the answer is kula b'mu'ad kamayri. The answer is the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not even addressing the case of a tam. The Mishnah is all addressing the case of a muad. It's saying between tam and muad, sure, there can be distinctions. But even within muad itself, there can be a distinction, namely if he says that my shur killed somebody's eved. So Rashi explains that because the Mishnah is not going to be switching between tam and muad, especially. I mean, Rashi doesn't mention this point, but this video, after all, we're not here dealing with the dinim of tam and muad in details. Those are in detail. Those are above a kama. Here, the Mishnah is just mentioning a general distinction. So if the Mishnah were to start saying that there's a case where he pays up yatzmai when he says, my shur killed your shur, then we would have to start saying that there's differences between tam and muad. And then the Mishnah doesn't want to get into that level of detail. if it's anyway, if we anyway have to switch between different cases, we might as well switch between Ben Cholin and Eved versus Tam and versus Mord and Tam. Okay, so the Mishnah could still work according to the Hone Bredi of Yeshua. Toshma, but let's see, the Mishnah continues. Zakla, kol mashalam yosar mashehizik. The Mishnah continues. The general rule is anybody pays more than what he was, than the amount he was mazik. Ain mashalam apiatzma, he doesn't pay it based on his own say so. Meaning, in other words, we said, for example, Gorb killing an Eved, or Onas, or Mefata, Kefil, etc., all those things. So we're saying that he doesn't pay apiatzma because those are all knas. Implying hapochus mashahizik, implying if he's paying less than what he caused damage, mashalom apiatzma, then he would pay on his own. Wouldn't that clearly show that chatzi nezek, where by definition he's paying less than the amount that he damaged, wouldn't that show that he pays apiatzma? And the answer is the Gemara says no, loy tema hapochus mashahizik. No, because the implication may not be more than what he was mazik as opposed to less. No, the implication might be that if he pays exactly the amount that he was mazik, then that he does apiatzma. If it's any more or any less, then it's a knas. The Gemara says, in that case, then what are you telling me? So if he pays less, for example, when he pays chatzi nezek, then you're telling me he is, then you're telling me, according to the Hone Bredi of Yeshua, we still consider that a knas and he doesn't pay apiatzma. Listening, then why does the Mishnah phrase it in terms of kol mashalim yosar mashehizik? Listening, the Mishnah could have phrased it zaklal kol she'enim mashalim k'mashehizik. Anybody who does not pay exactly the amount that he was mazik, enim mashalim apiatzma, and he's not paying on his own say so. The mashma pachos and mashma yeser. That would clearly indicate both more and less. So the Mishnah could have used that. So according to the Papa that says Chatzi Nezek is Mammon, there's no problem. The Mishnah had to say that when he pays more, because if he pays less, if he pays Chatzi Nezek, then as a matter of fact, it is Mammon. But according to the Papa, that Chatzi Nezek is also Knas, and when you pay more, for example, when you're paying 30 for an Eved who's worth far less, is also a Knas. So the Mishnah could have just as well phrased it that any person who doesn't pay exactly as much as his Mazik is considered a knas and he's not mashalim apiatzmai. So the Gemara says tiyuvda. Okay, that is a clear refutation of the Hone Bredi of Yeshua. But v'hilchsa pauga nizk knasa. But the halacha, nevertheless, is that the chatzi nezek is considered a knas. The Gemara says, what do you mean tiyuvda v'hilchsa? You just showed that the Hone Bredi of Yeshua is contradicted from the wording of our Mishnah. How could you say the halacha is like him? And the answer is ain. As a matter of fact, yes. Time of my itosav. Because what are you telling me? On what grounds did we slog up Rav Huna Bredi Veshua? Is Mishum Dalei Katoni Kemashe Hizik? Because the Mishnah didn't use the expression that whenever he doesn't pay exactly what he was mazik, and you're saying that therefore that seems to imply that when he pays less than what he was mazik, then automatically it's mamun rather than knas. The fact is, the Tana of the Mishnah couldn't have said that as a blanket statement. He couldn't have said wherever a person is paying more or less than what he was mazik, then it's considered knas, because you do have one case where a person is paying chatzi nezek for tzrus. Namely, you have like this. An animal is walking in the street, and as it's walking, little pebbles or pieces of gravel or whatever shoot out from under its feet that it steps on them and sends them flying inadvertently, and they break something. Now, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma that in that case, you pay only chatzi nezek. And there we have a halacha l'moshe b'Sinai that even though he's paying only half, nevertheless, it's considered a payment of mammon. So therefore, our Mishnah could not say as a blanket statement that whenever you're paying more or less, then it's always a knas, because you have that one unique case where you're paying less and it's considered mammon. So after all, the Mishnah had to phrase it the way it did, saying only that if a person pays more than what he was mazik, then it's a knas. It couldn't have said the flip side, and if he pays less, it's also a knas, which would fit with a Hone Bredi of Yeshua, because there is that one case where he pays less and is considered mammon. So Mishramachi Lakatani therefore didn't use that expression, but nevertheless, after all, it doesn't contradict Rav Huna Ber Rav Yeshua, and therefore the halacha can be like him, that in the regular case of Hatzi Nezek, namely the regular case where an animal gores the first couple of times, then we can still consider that knas. And only in the case of Hatzi Nezek Tzuris, only then do we consider that moment. So the Gemara says, "V'hashta de'amet p'algan nizka knasa." So now that we've reached the conclusion that the chatzin nezek is fundamentally a knas, and therefore, as Rav Huna Ber Rav Yeshua was saying, that if a person comes to Beis Din and says that my shur killed your shur, and it was a tam, then we're going to patter him from paying. So there are other dinim that come from that as well. First of all, hai kalba de ochel imri vishunra de ochel tanagodi. If a dog kills and eats young sheep, or if a cat kills and eats chickens, tanagodi rabbi, large chickens, mishunahu, then that's an unusual thing. Now the general rule is each of the basic types of nizikin, keren and shein and regal and so forth has tolos. You have other things that go under the same category, which talks about at great length at the beginning of Bava Kamma. In the case of keren, for example, we're saying it's not only if the animal gores, which is unusual behavior for an animal, but also other kinds of unusual behavior also go under the category of keren. And you have the same concept of tam and muad when it applies to them. So now we're saying that for a dog to kill and eat baby sheep or a cat to kill and eat large chickens is not a normal thing. So therefore it's part of keren. And therefore what we just said, so if the animal is a tam, then the payment of chatzin nezek for those things would be a knas. So therefore mishunahu, it's considered something unusual, v'loy magbinin b'bavo. So in Bavel, where they didn't have smicha, then we can't collect that knas on behalf of that nizik, because it's a knas, and knasas we can't do in Bavel. But the Gemara points out, aval zutri, but if it was small chickens, urchehu, that's normal enough for a cat to do, or magbinan, that we can collect like anything else, because that would be more the nezek of shein, where an animal eats something that it wasn't supposed to, and therefore that you always pay full nezek, because there's no difference between tam and more than that. Even within that, actually, Rishonim say, I think the Rosh says, that there's a difference between what you pay for the killing of the animal versus the eating it. If even, let's say, we're saying it's unusual for a dog to kill and eat sheep. So the killing might be unusual, but the eating itself, if nothing else, you should be liable for the fact that now the animal has gotten some nutrition that otherwise it wouldn't have, and therefore you'd be paying for that. You might not be paying the full value of the meat, but you'd be paying something, because after all, your animal had hana, and you in turn have hana, that now you don't have to feed your dog the next day. So you would be paying for that. That part is not considered the knas. We're talking about as far as the depreciation and the value of the animal from when it was alive to when it's dead. That part, given that the dog is a tam, would be a knas, and we're saying a knas you don't collect in Bava. The Gemara continues, v'eat tofas, if the nizek grabbed mammon that belongs to the mazik to pay off the chatzin nezek, loy makin and minei, then we don't take it away from him. So therefore, you can get his chatzin nezek out of that. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam that when do we say, now Bechlal, throughout Shas we have this concept that a person can be Tosfos even in cases where Beis Din doesn't have the ability to tell the other person to pay, but we have many times where if the Nizek is Tosfos, where if he grabs a hold of something to pay it off, then that works. Rabbeinu Tam here says in Tosfos that would only be if he grabs the actual animal itself. So Reuven's dog killed some of Shimon's sheep, and we're saying since the dog is a tam, then therefore we can't require Reuven to pay for what his dog did, because it's a knas, and a knas we can't do in Bavel. But we'd be saying if Shimon grabbed a hold of the dog itself and says, "I'm not returning it until you pay me the chatzin nezek," then therefore that he'd be able to do. And then Tosfos says, on the other hand, if you were to grab other things, then that wouldn't necessarily work. Then we would make him return. And Tosfos says though with doichek that it's a doichek to say that. And in fact many poskim don't say that. And they say that when we say the person can be Tosfos, it is more across the board. He can be Tosfos other property that belongs to the mazik and use that to collect his chatzi nezek out of. And if it turns out that he grabbed more than he was supposed to, then based in we'll just have him return the rest and keep the chatzi nezek. One thing it does say in Shulchan Aruch, and that connection, though, is, so there are dinim about it in Shulchan Aruch. One thing it does say is that it would not work if he grabbed it through the Goyish court system. If he's going to be grabbing, it has to be on his own, or it has to be through Beis Din, and it can also include, for example, where let's say he has in his possession something that belonged to the other guy. Let's say previously the guy had given him a cotton or something, he'd be able to hold on to that, but not, let's say, to go to the Goyish court system and have them take away something from the other guy. That wouldn't work, and Beis Din would not allow him to keep that. Continues the Gemara. The E Amma Akbu the Zimna La Eretz Yisrael. What if the Nizik says, fine, here in Bavel they don't judge Dinikhnosis, but in Eretz Yisrael, at that time they still have the Smicha Ishmi Piyish in Eretz Yisrael. So he tells the local Beis Din, set up a time for me that I plan to go to Eretz Yisrael and sue the guy over there. So I want you Beis Din to tell the Mazik that he has to come with me to Eretz Yisrael and the case will be judged there. So then Makbein and Lay, so then we, the Dayanim in Bavel, do that. We tell the Mazik, you have to go along with him to Eretz Yisrael on such and such a date because they're gonna have a din Torah. V'ilay also Mashamtin and Lay. And if he doesn't want to go, then we put him in Chayv. And the Gemara says, Bein Kach or Bein Kach, Mashamtin and Lay. Actually, in between, whether he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, temporarily, we still put the Mazik in Chayv for a different reason. At Damrin Lay Salat Kazekach. We tell him, get rid of your hezek. In other words, we tell him, you have a dangerous dog. You have to get rid of it. Until you get rid of it, we're going to put you in chayv. Then once he gets rid of it, then we tell him, okay, now the nizik wants you to go with him to Eretz Yisrael so that you can, so that he can collect his knas over there. So then you also have to go with him. And if not, then we're going to put you in chayv for that as well. And the reason is mid Rav Nosson. This is based on this that we tell him, get rid of your hezek, is based on what Rav Nosson says. The Tanya Rav Nosson, minayin shalo yigadol adam kelav rabba seich beisei. How do we know that a person should not raise a dangerous dog in his house? V'layamid sulam ra'ua b'seich beisei. Or he's not allowed to have a rickety ladder in his house. Shenema v'lay sasim damim beisecha. As the pasuk says, don't put blood in your house. In other words, if you have such dangerous things in your house, it may cause bloodshed chas v'shalom. It may cause people to get injured or killed, and you have a responsibility to not have such things in your house. Some approaches point out, it's one thing, for example, a shur, at least a shur is used on an ongoing basis for plowing and for other hard jobs. So you can't say that once the shur has killed, then right away he has to get rid of it. If it killed a person is one thing, but not if it killed an animal. But in the case of a dog, which is less necessary on an ongoing basis, then we can tell him get rid of it and get if you daft the must have, then get a different dog. So now, as we said before, the Ge'onim, and by the time of the Ge'onim, there was no smicha in Eretz Yisrael either. So this whole thing that we're saying that the guy can say, let's go to Eretz Yisrael and we'll have the din Torah over there, didn't apply anymore. So therefore, the Ge'onim say, and all the Rishonim and Achronim bring, based on that, what we'll do is the Beis Din does have the ability to put the mazik in the chayrim until he pays an appropriate amount to the nizik. It doesn't necessarily have to be the full payment, but at least an amount as Beis Din will figure out on a case by case basis of how much he should pay in order to satisfy the other person's claim. And we make him pay that. So they don't have the ability. So if the guy is stubborn and says, I don't care, I'll stay in Chayrim, they don't really have much further recourse. But otherwise, in most cases, that helps and the person will pay what he has to. Hadron aloch elu nairis.